Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and, well, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please don't call unless we ask for calls, because we have with us this afternoon Barbara Lowe Fisher from the Vaccine Center. And Barbara's been at this for a long, long time, trying to educate people about the problems with certain of the vaccines. Barbara, thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Well, now, tell us a little bit about what's unfolding as far as various vaccines are concerned. I got a call from a woman this morning that told me that she had a three-year-old child who couldn't walk, who couldn't talk, couldn't do anything. And I think she really thinks it's related to the vaccines. She said that the child doesn't have normal myelization of the nerves. Have you ever heard of anything like that from vaccines?
Well, I have, and actually today I was very distressed to see that there's been a new vaccine which has been prematurely licensed by the FDA. It's something called ProQuad. It's manufactured by Merck. It's combining four live viruses into one vaccine, that is measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox viruses. And the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine that we've been using for many years, has the ability to cause brain inflammation in children, seizures and brain inflammation. In fact, the peak days for that reaction is between 8 and 14 days after vaccination. The chickenpox vaccine also has the ability to cause inflammation and seizures, and they're combining all four of these vaccines now into one vaccine. And we will no doubt have cases of children who will suffer brain damage following that combination vaccine.
Why are they so intent upon creating the pool vaccine? Why don't they just give one insult to the body at a time? Why do they want to insult it with four different viruses?
Well, I believe the press release by the company that manufactures it is, there was a quote in there that it's convenient. It will result in higher vaccination rates, more coverage with these vaccines, and that seems to be the main thrust of the policy, is to get everyone to take these vaccines at the same time. No matter, you know, there's no really respect for biodiversity, the fact that we're not all the same. We don't present the same at vaccination. Some of us are sick. Some of us have had previous vaccine reactions. Some of us have a as yet unidentified genetic vulnerability to not being able to handle one or more vaccines, particularly when you're combining vaccines. What I was shocked about this particular vaccine that has just been licensed in the last 48 hours is that they only studied about 5,800 kids. And that's not very many children. They followed them up for a year. And the way they supposedly proved safety and efficacy with this vaccine, but I'm particularly concerned about safety, is they compared a group of children who received this experimental vaccine, this four live viruses in one vaccine, and they compare it against children who received the MMR vaccine, that is 3-in-1, and the chickenpox vaccine separately. So you were comparing vaccinated children to vaccinated children, all of which were getting the same vaccines. This would have earned me an F in an eighth grade science class. We all know that when you want to find out something about an unknown, you compare it against a placebo. Now, they could have covered these other children in the group that they only gave a placebo to, a true placebo to. So you were comparing the new vaccine against children who were not being vaccinated at that point. They could have vaccinated them later with the MMR and chickenpox vaccine, or even ProQuad.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barbara Fisher talking about another new vaccine and what harm it may do. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Barbara Lowe Fisher from the Vaccine Center back in Washington, D.C., or thereabouts, and she's been in this battle for many years, trying, of course, to get people to question what is happening with the vaccines. Today, one in six American children has a neurodevelopmental or behavioral abnormality. We have so many children who have very, very real problems. We have rising rates of autism. We have rising rates of asthma. We have rising rates of autoimmune disease. And the government says we don't know why all these things are happening, but we can assure you that vaccines are safe. And, oh, my goodness, look at all the good that they've done. Well, how do you respond to something like that, Barbara?
Well, I think that we really have to take a look at the most highly vaccinated population in the entire world, and that's the U.S., the children in the United States. We use more vaccines than any other country, and we have higher vaccination rates than most countries. Very stringent mandatory vaccination laws. In the last 25 years, as we've more than doubled the number, almost doubled the numbers of doses of vaccines we give our children, we have seen a huge rise in the number of children who are chronically ill and disabled. We have seen a tripling of diabetes, asthma, learning disabilities, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder. We've seen a 200 to 7,000% increase in autism in every state. We are, our children, we are approaching a 20% chronically ill and disabled child population. Now, what does that say for all of us who have done exactly as these physicians and public health officials have told us to do? We've gotten our children all of these vaccines. And no, we're not seeing cases of measles. We're not seeing cases, as many cases of chickenpox and mumps and rubella. But we are, our children, instead of having these acute infectious diseases in childhood and 99.9% of them recovering without any sequelae, without any permanent damage or dying, our children now, so many of them, one in six, as you said, developmentally delayed. I just read that one in six now have asthma. This is an unacceptable chronic illness and disability rate in our children. And there is no credible explanation coming from our health authorities as to why this is true.
But they assure us that they know it's not the vaccines, but they just don't know what it's coming from.
Well, you know, when you have a body like the Institute of Medicine at the National Academy of Sciences last spring declaring that there should be no more research into the link between vaccines and autism, I would say that was an extremely irresponsible stance
hold
for
that
a scientific
thought, hold
body.
That, hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Barbara Lowe Fisher. And of course, I had pointed out that about one in six children has a neurodevelopmental or abnormality or behavioral abnormality. Barbara was saying about one in six children, in addition, has diabetes, and the incidence of juvenile diabetes has skyrocketed. And of course, the government officials say, well, we don't know why this is, but you, trust us. I mean, we wouldn't do it. Nobody would want to hurt children. And then Barbara was saying that when they had the meeting of the Institute of Medicine recently, and they were looking into the background of the relationship between autism and the vaccines. And, of course, the reason is because of the thimerosal in the vaccines. And thimerosal is mercury, and mercury is one of the most toxic substances for the brain. And the recommendation of the Institute of Medicine was we shouldn't have any more research. And Barbara was saying she thought that was irresponsible. Would you like to pick up on that idea?
Well, extremely irresponsible. How can any scientific body come to the conclusion there should be no research on a subject as controversial as the link between vaccines and autism and other neurodevelopmental delays? They should be calling for more research. Instead, they're trying to put the cap on the lid on it, just like the vaccine manufacturers and the public health authorities are. They don't want to look at what's happening to these children. You know, at the National Vaccine Information Center here in Vienna, Virginia, we have received reports for 23 years. Parents reporting that their children took in healthy, bright, normally functioning children in to be vaccinated. And these children were given a variety of different vaccines. And then these parents watched their children regress physically, mentally, and emotionally before their eyes. And yet when they took their children to the doctor and told them that their children were sick after vaccination and were deteriorating before their eyes, the doctors were denying that it had anything to do with the vaccines they gave the children. This is because this experience is being repeated over and over again in homes across this country, really in homes around the world, and yet the health authorities and the vaccine manufacturers are denying that the vaccines are causing these problems. This is causing this incredible crisis of trust in the hearts and minds of the people, who simply, it doesn't compute with them, because what they see in front of their eyes is at variance with what the, quote, official published studies is telling them.
Well, in defense of the doctors, and having been a doctor for many years, I could never believe that we would ever do anything that would harm a child. That was when I was practicing medicine, until I began to have the time to do the study and to read your material and read the other material and then do a lot of research on my own. And then it became increasingly obvious that there seems to be another agenda, but the average doctor doesn't know. In fact, he's really very defensive. He's thinking they're going to sue me if something happens to their child, whereas the parent is just looking for an explanation. The doctor is simply doing what he is told to do by his Academy of Pediatrics or by the U.S. Public Health Service, and this is the standard of care. And if he varies from it, why, he can get into trouble as well. But I mean, our first obligation is do no harm. That's what they taught me in medical school. And I think doctors, when you hear this story over and over again, you really have an obligation to look at it, especially when I talk to so many doctors whose children have become autistic, and they become believers.
Well, that's true, and I totally agree with you. I agree that pediatricians become pediatricians because they want to keep children well. They want to help children. They don't become pediatricians to hurt children. And I think that there is this psychological and emotional disincentive to believe that a medical procedure that has been recommended by the government, by their mentors at the American Academy of Pediatrics and the AMA, that this procedure that they're doing every day to try to keep a child well would in any way harm a child. The problem is that there is data. There is data that is not shown to the doctors, that's not revealed to the public, unfortunately, that does show that there are many more reactions occurring than the health authorities and the drug companies want people to know about. And it's tragic, because when there's no transparency in the way studies are conducted, in the way the government looks at data and the way they report it, when there's no transparency, then and when we ask for the data and we don't get it, that's when you have this crisis of trust that's occurring. And it should well occur.
And it certainly should. And it's not the average doctor. It's the fact that the doctor really doesn't know. But there are people in government who do know. And for one reason or another, they're concealing the information. I think it behooves our listeners to check out the facts. And if once you are convinced that there's a problem, then you have to help educate the doctors. And if enough of the doctors really understood and began to question what they've been told and began to question the U.S. Department of Public Health, which I think is one of the greatest menaces to our health, in this nation, at that point, maybe things will begin to change. Well, Barbara, how can people get information? You know, because their information is there, and I know you have a tremendous amount of information on this. Where would parents go to get information on vaccination and understand what the real problems are?
Well, of course, we have a website that's one of the largest, and it is the oldest website on vaccine safety, and that's N for national, V for vaccine, I for information, C for center.org, NVIC.org, that has many links to both. We believe that people ought to have all the information, whether it comes from the government or the AAP or other related websites that are questioning vaccination. We believe they should have it all so that they can make an educated decision. And we encourage people to talk to one or more healthcare professionals and get all the information they can before they make a vaccine decision for themselves or for their children.
All right. Well, what about the information that came from Dr. Wakefield? Dr. Wakefield was a gastroenterologist over in England who was doing colonoscopies on these children. He found that many of the children, who were autistic, who had taken the MMR vaccine, had the live, measles virus in their intestine, and they had intense diarrhea associated with it. What's this all about, and how does that fit into all the other theories on the cause of autism?
Yes, well, Dr. Wakefield in 1998 published an article in The Lancet, and it questioned the link between the measles, the live measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, the combo 3-in-1 shot, and the development of inflammatory bowel disease and autism in genetically susceptible children. It caused a tremendous controversy. He was attacked viciously on both sides of the Atlantic because this was the first time that research had been that linked autism with vaccines. Actually, Dr. Harris Coulter and I, in our book, 1985 book, DPT, A Shot in the Dark, were the first to report an association between vaccines and autism. It was the DPT vaccine and brain inflammation that resulted in autistic behaviors that we reported. But the second, we of course published the book, Harker Yovanovitch published that book, but when Dr. Wakefield published in The Lancet, which is a medical journal, the link between MMR vaccine and autism, this was taken extremely seriously. And they moved very quickly to try to discredit him. He pursued his research, and as you pointed out, has identified vaccine-strain measles virus DNA in these children who are autistic and also suffering from inflammatory bowel disease. Now, at the top of your show, I was talking about the combining of the live chickenpox virus with MMR vaccine, why that potentially is dangerous. Dr. Wakefield maintains that very rarely in nature are children exposed to three live viruses at one time, three childhood diseases, measles, mumps, and rubella at one time. And his hypothesis is the simultaneous exposure of these children to these three live viruses in children who, for genetic or other biological reasons, can't handle that causes some of them to develop a persistent vaccine-strain measles infection. And then that goes on to affect the brain.
Now, how does that affect the brain? Is it the measles that gets there, or is it the absorption of toxins from the bowel and
metabolic products? It's very difficult. I am not a physician. But how I understand it is that, of course, the brain and the immune system are, and the gastrointestinal, all the systems of the body are interrelated. Right. So many of these specialists see them as separate, and rather than holistically. But they have an interaction with each other. Certainly the immune system and the brain does. And his argument is that when you have a persistent measles virus infection, whether from natural disease or from the vaccine, that somehow this affects the immune system that then affects the brain. And I think Wakefield will be proven to be correct. And I think what's important for people to understand is there are various ways to become brain injured from vaccination or to have, and there are various kinds of brain injury that manifest themselves differently. For example, you can have mild inflammation of the brain that results in learning disabilities and ADD or ADHD. You then have the more severe forms of brain injury, the autism spectrum disorder. You have seizure disorders. You have mental retardation. The most severe consequence of vaccines can be death. But it's on a continuum. And even though right now in the news, it's the mercury preservatives and vaccines and that connection with autism that's getting most of the attention, Wakefield's hypothesis, I think we can't forget. And also the fact that, for example, DPT and DTaP can cause brain inflammation that can then be manifested in autistic behaviors. So there are many ways to have vaccine-associated autism. It would be different for different children depending upon their genetic makeup.
All right, and certainly they went after Andrew Wakefield. You know, it wasn't a scientific discussion. They had to destroy him, and they really did. They took his license away. He's had to come to the United States. He's been blocked here. You see, the American people can never learn how dangerous the vaccines are, and they're destroying the lives of children. And you have to ask yourself why. I thought everything was, we wanted to help the children. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest, Barbara Lowe Fisher, from the Vaccine Center. And you'll certainly want to go to her website at nvic.org. That's nvic.org. Get the information. Get informed. And we have a great deal of information here at Radio Liberty as well. Please help us to educate the doctors, because we're going to be saving the lives of innocent children.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many...
...attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Barbara Lowe Fisher, who's been trying to awaken people to the very real hazards of vaccines, of childhood vaccines, for a number of years. And, you know, of course, this is a story of Dr. Wakefield, and this is such a common story. I've heard it so many times from parents. My child was fine until I took them in and got them vaccinated, but the doctor says there's no relationship. But many of these children certainly have been more or less permanently damaged. Is there anything that can be done for these children who have this intense diarrhea and the mental changes following the MMR vaccine? Is there any treatments there that seem to help?
Well, of course, that's something that Dr. Wakefield and his colleagues and their independent physicians around the country, including the physicians associated with Defeat Autism now, the DAN physicians, have developed a protocol to try to help the children, some of the children who have been affected by mercury in vaccines, mercury being a known neurotoxin that has been proven to cause brain damage in humans, and certainly for the developing fetus. They're using procedures to try to cleanse the body of mercury. It has to be done in a safe way. It has to be done with a physician who understands what he's doing when he takes the mercury out of the body. But a number of these children have been, their autistic behaviors have been receding. Some of them have actually gone back to be in a normal classroom. So, you know, it depends upon how the child was damaged by the vaccine. You know, what component, what part of the vaccine or what combination of vaccines did it that usually, you know, predicts whether or not there's going to be a restoration of mental and physical function.
Well, Barbara, it was perhaps about 3 months ago now, and it almost seemed as if on order, suddenly there were articles in Newsweek, Time, U.S. News and World Report, New York Times, ABC, CBS, NBC, the entire media ran articles almost spontaneously, all at the same time about autism. But the stress of the article was, don't try to get your child treated because you could harm them if you tried chelation or some of these other treatments.
Well, you know, I mean, certainly there are risks also to any medical intervention, whether it be vaccination, surgery, prescription drug use, whatever. I mean, nothing is risk-free. It just depends upon, I mean, it truly is a weighing of the benefits and risks. There have been, in a few rare cases, problems associated with the chelation, removing the heavy metals from the body, but by and far the majority of children where mercury has been identified, where it's been a heavy metal problem, so many of the children have been helped. They've also been helped by putting them on certain kinds of diets, again depending upon the evaluation of the individual child. Some benefit from going on a wheat-free, gluten-free diet, a sugar-free diet, and the parents are, you know, it's a very complicated diet regimen that they have to follow. It just depends upon the individual child. And, you know, we've always argued, you know, we need to individualize these vaccine policies instead of taking the one-size-fits-all approach. One-size-fits-all has never worked in any part of medicine, whether it's preventive medicine or healing. Of illness, and you know, not everybody is going to react the same to a medical intervention. Why would they react the same to the receipt of a vaccination? And yet, this is the way the policy is, as if we're all a homogeneous group of cattle. You know, there's no variation at all. And I knew that when my son was injured back in 1980, reacted to the fourth dose of the DPT vaccine. I knew there had to be something in my family that made him different from other children. Why did he have a seizure and a collapse shock and a state of unconsciousness within 4 hours of his DPT shot? Why did that happen to him and didn't happen to other children? You know, it has to be genetic differences. And yet there's no respect for that. They refuse. We have begged them to do the research to identify genetic and other biological markers that place some children and individuals at higher risk than others. They refuse to do the research, because they take this approach, this utilitarian approach, that some children are expendable for the rest. And we say no child is expendable. No one's life every child's life is valuable.
Well, of course, the thing is, if you look at the incidence of death from measles, you know, when they brought that on in 1966, started the measles vaccination, I think there were 44 children that died that year. This was not a major problem. Yes, every one of those children is, you know, is important. But when we're talking about 1 in 6 children with asthma, 1 in 6 children with a neurological or behavioral abnormality, I mean, I think cost-risk-benefit would say, let's do everything we can to protect our children. We're going to be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
Help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Barbara Lowe Fisher from the Vaccine Center in Washington, D.C. Once again, can we get the website for that and maybe the telephone number where of the Vaccine Center for those who don't have access to the web?
Yes. The website is N for National, V for Vaccine, I for Information, C for Center.org, NVIC.org. And the telephone number is 703-938-0342.
All right, fine. Well, now, what about the polio vaccine? My understanding is they changed from the oral polio vaccine back to the Salk vaccine. What is this a good idea? Do you think children should be taking the Salk vaccine? How effective is it, compared with the Sabin vaccine?
Well, certainly polio was eradicated in the Western Hemisphere in 1979. There are still cases of polio in some of the third world countries, in Africa, India, and some of the Middle Eastern countries, but by and large, it is supposed to be on its way to being eradicated from the earth. They are using the live virus oral polio vaccine, which we use in this country up through about 1999. What a lot of people don't know is that both the killed and the oral polio vaccines have been contaminated with a monkey virus called simian virus 40, or SV40. That was the 40th monkey virus to be identified in the early polio vaccines. Most people who have heard of the SV40 contamination of polio vaccines think it was just the killed version, the Salk version that we used in the 1950s before the Sabin version, the live oral polio vaccine, came into use. What people don't realize is the original Sabin seed stocks were contaminated with SV40, and those stocks were used all the way through and are continuing to be used to produce vaccines, live polio vaccines around the world. The reason this is important is that SV40 is a known carcinogen.
Is that still in some of this vaccine that they're getting?
What people don't realize is the original Sabin seed stocks made with the use of kidney tissues, monkey kidney tissues, were contaminated with SV40, and those were the stocks that were used to make polio vaccine for all these years.
And they're still doing it.
That's correct.
That is incredible. We have, basically, of course, if you get a shot now, you're going to be getting the SV40.
Well, but no, not the killed. The killed vaccine that we use now in this country, I suspect that's part of the reason they moved away. There were two reasons. Well, the officially stated reason for moving away from the live oral polio vaccine was that that vaccine could cause vaccine strain polio in a child or a person who had been vaccinated or came in contact with a recently vaccinated person's body fluid. So the oral polio vaccine had the ability to cause vaccine strain polio. The killed version does not have the ability to cause polio. The killed version also, which was the original soft version, is made from a viral cell line, which has been in use and is thought to be SV40 free. It's the live polio vaccine now that can trace the contamination back to the original seed stocks of Sabin.
And that's what we're using throughout the world, but not
throughout the world, but not here in this country.
All right, fine. Well, that's it's sort of like the mercury in the vaccines. They've taken it out of the childhood vaccines in the United States, but they've left it in the childhood vaccines we give throughout the rest of the world. Why would you do that if it's bad? You know, why would you leave it? Leave it in to give to the children throughout the rest of the world?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to mention for your listeners that the SV40 was associated in the polio vaccines associated with brain, bone, and lung cancers that's occurring in ever-increasing rates in this country in children and adults. That's the reason that contamination was so important. But moving on to the thimerosal issue, why are they not taking it out of the vaccines that are used in other countries? I think that whether it be the switch from the live polio vaccine to the killed, or the switch from DPT to DTAP, which is a purified version of DPT, or a switch from mercury-containing vaccines to non-mercury-containing vaccines, every time the United States takes the lead in making a vaccine switch for safety reasons, this has impact economically on vaccine strategies and policies throughout the world. And when we fought for 14 years to get a safer or a less reactive DTAP vaccine in here, because DPT was the one that had injured my child and a number of other children, this caused a great controversy in the rest of the world. Because why? Because they said, well, you know, it costs more to produce DTAP, the safer version. What are we going to have, a vaccine for the rich and a vaccine for the poor? The countries that were still using DPT, which has cost pennies to produce compared to the DTAP, which may cost a dollar to produce, that the rest of the world couldn't, they said that, well, we can't afford the DTAP. And so people were upset that, you know, the U.S. moved to a safer version when the rest of the world supposedly can't afford it. So it becomes an economic situation when you try to improve vaccines in our country because the rest of the world says they can't afford it.
And so it will hurt our children if it's, by giving them a poor quality vaccine. That doesn't make any sense.
No, everybody should have the highest quality vaccine. It just means the manufacturers make a little less profit. It means they have to, they need to make these vaccines available, the safer vaccines available. They just make less profit in the other part of the world.
I think for our listeners out there, there's the diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus vaccine, DPT, and then there's the diphtheria, pertussis, but it's an acellular type of pertussis,
right.
And that's really much safer, isn't it?
It is. They threw out the endotoxins, which had a lot to do with the clap shocks reactions and indeed some of the deaths that occurred in the infants after administration with DPT that often were written off as sudden infant death syndrome. they purified or they made less bioactive the pertussis toxin in the vaccine, which is really the toxin that is associated with a lot of the brain inflammations and seizures. They made it less bioactive. Now, DTaP has caused fewer seizures, has caused fewer cases of encephalopathies and neurodevelopmental delays. However, if you are genetically susceptible, you still to pertussis toxin, you still can be harmed by that DTaP vaccine. It is not a risk-free vaccine.
All right, and Chris, this is what I'd like you to think of. There's nothing to worry about. Just roll up your sleeve. And yet, statistically, they know that there are real problems with potentially with all vaccines. Now, let's get into the hepatitis B vaccine, which they're giving to children in the nursery, the very first day of life. And, of course, until a couple of years ago, why, it was loaded with about 85 times the maximum allowable amount of mercury, and they knew that, and if it hadn't been for the parents, making such a fuss, they would still be poisoning our children. But now, of course, they still are giving the vaccine, supposedly the mercury is out. Is the mercury out of the vaccines? Did we know?
Well, when they say mercury-free vaccines, in most cases what they mean is there are trace amounts of mercury in them versus the larger amounts that were in before they went to single dose vials. The reason the mercury preservatives by Marisol was in the vaccines, the killed bacterial vaccines, it's never been in live virus vaccines like measles, mumps, rubella, and chickenpox or polio. It's always the killed bacterial vaccines, for example, like hepatitis B. But in 1999, when the Food and Drug Administration and the Environmental Protection Agency ordered the manufacturers to take the thimerosal out of the vaccines, what the manufacturers had to do was go from multi-dose vials, where you kept inserting the needle and taking it out and giving it, say, five doses to different children. They had to go to single-dose vials that could not be contaminated when you put that needle in again and again. So the single what parents need to know is that flu vaccine that they're recommending all six-month-old babies get, obviously between 6 and 23 months get, that still the majority of it contains the full amount of mercury because they have not yet gone to single-dose vials of flu vaccine, and they have not yet made pediatric vaccine that's, quote, mercury-free, even though it has trace amounts in it. So parents need to remember that if they're choosing the vaccine, a flu vaccine, they need to ask for single-dose vials of flu vaccine or DT, diphtheria tetanus, without the P part, the whooping cough, pertussis or whooping cough part. The DT vaccine also contains the full amount of mercury. I'm trying to think of what other vaccine.
Now, if you go in to get a booster for your child, a tetanus booster, will that have the mercury in it?
Yes.
It will have it.
Yes, it's my understanding that it's not been gotten out.
All right, fine. And, Chris, every time an adult goes in to, by the scratch, why they give them a tetanus booster, and it really, you're getting a significant amount of mercury, which is cumulative. That's the problem.
Well, that's right. And, for example, on our website, on our National Vaccine Information Center website, nvic.org, we have a mercury calculator, and you can go in there, and you can punch in, the vaccines that your children have gotten in the past or are going to get, and you can see the amount of mercury and how far it is over the government, the EPA limit. And what you learn is if you'd have to weigh at least 500 pounds in order to get a flu shot safely that contains mercury.
And I think it's criminal that they're recommending this for the elderly, and I think it's even worse that they're recommending it for 6 months old. But we won't get into the motivation behind that. What about the hepatitis B that they're giving in the in the nursery? Is there any justification for that unless mother has hepatitis B?
There really isn't. That policy was instituted in 1991, where they were going to give where they are now routinely giving hepatitis B vaccine to infants at 12 hours of age before they leave the newborn nursery.
But why are they doing that when it's that child is not going to get hepatitis B? There's a chance that getting hit by a meteor about as much as that child getting hepatitis B.
You would have to be born to an infected mother to be at risk, because hepatitis B is an adult disease, by and large, that is transmitted through sexual contact or IV drug use. That's the highest risk groups, those who have multiple sexual partners and those who use IV injecting drugs. So your baby is not going to be exposed to that. unless you're hepatitis B positive yourself. And we've always had historically a very low rate of hepatitis B among adults in this country. Not true for the third world, not true for Asia, for example, where hepatitis B is endemic. But certainly in this country, it's been very low. It's the same in Canada and Europe. And what they really need to do is test the moms when they come in to give birth in the hospital to see if they're hepatitis B positive, rather than just blindly, universally vaccinating all these children with hepatitis B vaccine at 12 hours of age. When you know nothing about the immune status of the child, you know nothing about whether that child has a neurological problem, You take a huge risk when you don't know anything about a newborn and you vaccinate. The first immunological experience that child experiences is an atypical introduction of a virus into the body through vaccination. This is not the way we've ever experienced our environment, human beings, in all of humanity. We've always experienced it quite differently.
Now, tell me about the complications of hepatitis B vaccination. Are there any recorded cases of children having adverse reactions to this unnecessary vaccination?
There absolutely are cases of children who have had reactions to hepatitis B vaccine, and adults too. I mean, there's been an association with multiple sclerosis and hepatitis B vaccine, with cases of demyelination in the brain. A lot of the symptoms that people have that occur within 2 to 3 weeks of vaccination, we're talking disabling fatigue, vision changes, chronic arthritis, joint pain. Teenagers who have been vaccinated with hepatitis B who never are able to perform, be in athletics or go back to school, it's tragic. And this is a vaccine that has not been studied enough, particularly in children.
Well, are there any ways to find out if the child actually has had a reaction to it? Is there any sort of a blood test would tell whether or not there's an autoimmune disease? Because it almost sounds really, this is almost an autoimmune, attack on the brain, because you're creating an immunity to an organism, or at least to a gene that is very similar to the one that lines the myelin sheath.
Right.
And you get molecular mimicking. Is there any way to make that diagnosis?
You mean ahead of time?
After the child, has been incapacitated and, is unable to walk or talk. And we know that certainly you get three times as much MS in nurses who've taken that. There's studies that show nurses triples their incidence of multiple sclerosis after taking hepatitis B vaccine.
Well, there certainly are neurologists who can tell you whether you have demyelination in the brain, whether you have brain injury. Unfortunately, there's very little that can be done to stop it once the reaction has been taken place. That's true for all vaccine reactions. The screening ahead of time is what we really need to do. We need to do the research that will identify the genetic and other biological factors that put some people at risk for having these reactions. They refuse to do it. The industry refuses to do it. The government refuses to do it. And that's why so many people have been hurt.
Is that why I think so many of our children are ill? In fact, if you can read some of the statistics, children who come from other countries to America are a lot healthier than the children who've been here and lived here all their lives.
That's true. At the National Vaccine Information Center, we believe that more than 50% of vaccine injury could be prevented if only doctors and parents were educated and understood what symptoms to look for, so revaccination did not take place after signs and symptoms of a reaction occurred. This is something that, unfortunately, because people are sweeping it under the carpet, the doctors are, and not are in denial and are not recognizing this, is why a lot of kids are hurt. That and the fact they haven't done the proper research.
Well, I think it's so important that people understand that this is not a simple procedure. And when you look at the statistics of the rising rate of autism and of allergy and of diabetes and of autoimmune disease and of nerve developmental abnormalities in America, and then the government says, well, we don't know what it's from, but you can trust us. There's nothing to worry about. I would really start worrying at that time. Are we making any progress? Do you think that parents out across America are becoming aware that maybe what we're doing in the name of helping them, maybe actually harming them irreparably?
I do think there's been an awareness over the last 2 decades I think certainly the publicity about autism and vaccines recently has helped a lot. I think that also in the reactions that have occurred with anthrax vaccine and smallpox vaccine in the military setting has contributed to a greater public awareness that vaccines are not risk-free. You have to become educated before you vaccinate.
Well, I really want to thank you so very much for being with us, Barbara. It's always a pleasure, and look forward to talking to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. It's always been a pleasure talking with you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty.
Most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we actually have a four-tape set on vaccines. You really need to understand what they're doing to our children. We have carried the book, The Virus and the Vaccine. There is a cancer virus, the SV40, in the polio vaccine, and it's being given throughout the world to this very day. And they knew it was there, and they punished the woman who found it. You'll actually read the story of Bernice Eddy, and of course, there is another book put out by NIH called The Health Century that tells how they took action. They destroyed the career of the woman, And what was the crime? She found out there was a cancer virus in the vaccine we were giving here in America, and we're still giving throughout the world today. Now, why would you do something like that unintentionally? The book we carry is The Virus and the Vaccine, and you can read those stories in my newsletters if you go up on my website, and they were written probably 3 or 4 years ago, although we'll be putting these into little pamphlets in the near future. You can get the exact details and get the sources of reference from the NIH's own publication. And then we, of course, have the book Evidence of Harm about the mercury in the vaccines. And, of course, they know that it's harmful. All the government studies showed it was harmful, and they've done everything they could to cover them up. Well, they've taken most of it out of the childhood vaccines. They've left it in the other vaccines they're going to give to your six-month-old if you're foolish enough to go down and get the flu shot or the DT shot or so many of the others. But they're giving it throughout the rest of the world. Why are they giving it to us, to the rest of the world, when they're going to destroy the lives of children in other countries? And so many of the children in Africa now are gaining autism. You don't see it in the Amish children because they don't take vaccines. You need to get our 4-tape set on vaccines. You need to get our 4-tape set on mercury. Actually, we have 2 4-tape sets on mercury. And then, of course, we have a video on mercury and its disastrous effects. It's called Mercury, the Slow Death, or Mercury, the Slow Death. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. How could anybody want to hurt children? Well, why is it there's so many people who are pro-abortion and pro-partial birth abortion, and we've killed 40 million children in this country since Roe versus Wade? And they say nobody would want to hurt children. Every one of those children that is aborted is a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God with an entirely different DNA than any other human being in the world. Only most of them, of course, will never be born. So you need to get our information. You need to understand that there really is a population control agenda. We have a video called Population Control Agenda. We have a 4-tape set on the population control agenda, and you can go to our website and pull down our population control agenda monograph, or you can certainly go ahead and order that through our ministry by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Again, the books, The Virus and the Vaccine, Evidence of Harm, which is an amazing story of the background of the autism epidemic and the struggle of the parents to force the government to take the mercury out. Well, they took it out of some of the vaccines and they left it in others. So the unsuspecting parents are going to poison their children. You need to get the information. You need to find if it's true. And then if it is, you've got to get your doctor informed. You've got to get your friends, your relatives. Because, of course, once your child's brain has been and body have been destroyed, why, there's sometimes nothing you can do about it. A frantic woman called me today. Her child has demyelinating disease. They've been to all the major clinics throughout the country, and they say just demyelinating disease. Where did it come from? Probably the hepatitis B vaccine. Absolutely no reason to give it in the United States. That's why we give it. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Ladies and gentlemen, there really is evil in the world. Pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And until, of course, tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.